668 will be the song of invitation a little bit later. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 94. 94. And after this song, Gene, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with his loving hand, he leads the way. And with each breath, I whisper, I adore thee. Oh, what joy to walk with him each day. Each step I take,
when I thank you for the love that you have for us in sending your only son in this cruel world to die for the remission of our sins. For we know all our sins except for Christ. We pray that you would be with us and bless us. That everything we say and do this day and this night and throughout our life will always be done in a manner that will be pleasing unto you. We pray for those who were mentioned here this day, that you will bless them and give them back to them upon heaven to be thy will. We pray that you will look after those who look after us and please the service me. And we pray that they will do the job that they are capable of doing. I pray that you would bless them and keep them safe and out of harm's way. We pray, Lord, that you would always look after us and keep us in a mind that would be pleasing unto you. Go with us now to the remainder of this service and bring it back at the next point in time if it be thy will. Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
It might seem to you to be a situation where after textual studies we've done over the last 3 months of time or so, and the idea that we would look at various verses in the Bible could be transitioned into topical lessons that I'll be presenting in our future. And tonight, I want to transition that by way of going through a Bible verse or two, but into the topics that we will have in mind for tonight. What is it that we might do that we would not ever be accepted into heaven if we practice that way of life? When we look at the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, we may look up the word not, for example, and see that it says there in the intermediate book of Strong's Exhaustive, check the appendix of this book, because there are so many, multiplied hundreds of times, the word not is used in the Old and New Testaments of the Bible. And as we go to those particular passages of Scripture, we see that there are some of them that have reference to eternity itself. And from that particular study that I was able to do, I fashioned some that would fit into a lesson study and not give you 100 different knots as you would find them. But what we would do, we'd take a look at what the Bible says in regard to what we may practice that will not allow us to enter in. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, we'll start with a very familiar verse of Scripture. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, the Hebrew writer says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. What we find in this passage of Scripture is vivid. We will not ever be able to please God without the lifestyle that we live by faith in him, and by faith that he rewards us in such a way that as we earnestly seek him, we'll be blessed as a result of being with God forever. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That must mean for us, as we read other verses that deal with the subject of faith and how important it is, that giving should be done in faith, that partaking of the Lord's Supper, the unleavened bread, the fruit of the vine, should be done in faith, believing. Because when we turn back to Hebrews chapter 3, and we read a couple of verses there in Hebrews 3 and at verse 11 and also verse 18, we read God's telling the Hebrew writer that there were those of the Israelites that did not enter into my rest. And the reason they did not enter into my rest is because they believed not as they should have. If you'd ask any one of the Israelites, do you believe in God? I would imagine we'd had an argument on our hands. Why, of course I believe in God. Certainly I believe in God. But from a day-to-day activity going through that wilderness, that desert, toward the promised land, they had their conscience thoughts about the food they would eat, the heat of the sun, the brilliance of the day, and their entering into a promised land, more so than they had their faith in God's direction for them to get there, provided for them the food that they needed, the water that they needed, and so forth. But because they did not have the faith that they should have, they did not get allowed by the Lord to enter into that rest. And that rest was something of that way of the promised land. And the application is being made, spiritually speaking, of us in the Christian dispensation of time, in the which we find ourselves if we do not live by that faith in the Lord that He said to live by, we would not be able to enter into heaven itself. We would be denied entrance into heaven's fair city because we do not have the faith that we should have. There are many things in the pages of the Scripture. I turn now in the Bible to Galatians chapter 5 and begin at verse 19 of what's called the works of the flesh. But the significance of the works of the flesh that are mentioned here are works that are at the end of this section of passages in Galatians 5, 19 on down through verse 21. Tells us that these that practice this way of life will not be allowed to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let's read what he says. In Galatians 5, 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, and variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings and murders, drunkenness and revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things, notice the present tense term, they did not do that, they do such things. They're continuing to practice that way of life. And as they continue to practice these works of the flesh, they cannot enter, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So there are a number of things that we might say in regard to living a lifestyle, living with someone that is not correct, sexual innuendos that are done that are not repented of. Any of these sins that are mentioned here and are not repented of. We do not ask God's forgiveness for having been there, done that in life. Are things that we still carry with us, and we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. When we read that, we're reading something that the world at large is filled with. Movies at large are based on the ideals of this. Some have a moral to them showing that that's not the way to live, that's not the way to do. And it tells us as we would leave that particular movie in days gone by, no, there's no way to lie ourselves into this way of life, that's no way to do it. And as a result, we would find ourselves saying, not like people look at Solomon's life and say, well, if I were wealthy and if I had all these wine women and song, I'd be good. Solomon had all that. And he was not blessed as a result of it. So we find our ways of life being important to God, important enough that if we are involved in those ways of life without repenting, we are called upon to repent by Jesus' own words in the familiar passage of Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. When there were some people that were hurt very badly and died as a result of that falling tower, Jesus said, I tell you nay. When they asked, was these people more wicked than other people of the earth? and caused them to suffer such a tragic and terrible end to their physical life, Jesus said, I tell you nay, no. But except you repent, ye shall likewise perish. And he repeats that in Luke 13 at verse 5 with the same words. I tell you nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Some tragic sins of people's lives are never learned by others. The individuals that are themselves involved in the matter know of the event that took place and the sinful ways that were done, and that's the sum total. But some of those things become very public, outlandishly so, and hurts and harms to the church of the Lord, to themselves and their families, are those things that emanate from it. Notice that he says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What were the Jewish people doing at that day and time in Luke 13? When we read around that time of Luke's account as he gives it, we read about people who would deny the Lord, deny that Jesus had come as the Son of God, deny that he's the Savior, so forth, so on. Have wickedness that they felt in their heart, as you read there in Luke 10 and Luke 11 regarding Zacchaeus, for example, and his ways, and how that he said, I will repay fourfold if you can show me where I have taken a public advantage of any man. I will pay him fourfold back. Jesus said, salvation is come to your house today. This man was a man who was illustrated a way of life that they began to despise and to hate and to deny. And that's the way that they lived. Turning now to Matthew chapter 18, we find where Jesus our Lord talked about that subject of the willingness to forgive. Having on our hearts a willingness to forgive others. He tells us regarding this matter that if we're people who find it not within our heart, then we will not be forgiven either. In Luke 13, at verse Matthew chapter 18 and verse 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you do not from your heart forgive not every one of his brothers their trespasses. Someone has wronged me, but I'll live with hatred for that person for the rest of my days. I'll despise that name. I'll speak against that name. I will call out against that name for the rest of my life. Do not do that. Please become a person victorious over that. By God's great power and forgiveness, it's a wonderful blessing to live in that way of life. Of forgiveness, and have within our hearts the idea in mind that we are people who are willing to forgive and not hold to death a grudge against someone who has trespassed against us. These things will bar our entrance and bar our forgiveness of God if we practice that without repenting of it. Think about Revelation 21 and verse 27. In the closing chapters of the book of Revelation, we see a way of life that's being practiced and done, and he knows about it. He is the Lord of Lords, he's the King of Kings, and he's aware of and knows all about our daily walk of life. And says in Revelation 21 at verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter, he's talking about enter into that wonderful, wonderful, blessed city, that wonderful place to live, our home of the soul. And he's saying, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. And that's the final point I want to make in this lesson tonight. If our name has never been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, He tells us here, we will not be there. We will not be blessed in heaven itself because our names are not written in the Book of Life. What about that? A way of life that we live, a way of life we practice, a way of life that we do. The Apostle Paul wanted to talk to Timothy in regard to his way of life. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he talks about how wonderful was the faith of his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, and how that he's persuaded that Timothy has been taught by them and now has that wonderful, blessed way of faith in his heart and in his life too. And then he goes on to say some things that are noteworthy, I think, in this lesson study of what might prevent me from getting into heaven's fair city. He says there in verse 8 of 2 Timothy 1, verse 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner," Paul's talking about himself, "but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." In other words, Timothy, don't worry about the fact that someone doesn't like it and they throw rotten eggs at you, they throw tomatoes at you, they speak against you, they speak roughly about you, they punish you severely. Don't worry about that. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoner, who is me. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. We didn't decide one day we'd become such good neighbors and good friends, good husbands, good wives. Good people that we live in a community. Good people that we live in a club, an organization. We became wonderful people and we could serve in such a wonderful way. We would have praise and our name would be written and there would be people who recognize our name right it spoken. Not according to our works was that salvation brought, but according as his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God planned a way by which salvation would come to mankind. And that way to come to mankind was by his wonderful grace, by reaching out to man, and by our faithfully having that faith that brings us into Christ. Notice what is said there, and it's missed by so many of the religious teachers and believers of our time. Many of our friends and neighbors, some in our families. He says, "But according as to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus." How do we get into Christ Jesus? A faith that moves us to repent of sin, to be baptized into Christ, to begin walking and living for the Lord in that newness of life from day to day. Thus we practice a way of righteousness, so called there in Romans 6 at 16 and following. "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you." Be obeyed it. I came to faith and I obeyed that form of doctrine. "Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." The servant, the slave to doing what's right. And when I recognize that I'm not doing what's right, I need to, as Simon did in Acts 8 at 20, come back to the Lord in repentance and prayer. Because I want to be right in the way that I follow His way of direction in life. As a result of that, I can be a person rewarded like He planned before the world began. This goes back before Adam and Eve, before the earth and the heavens were made. God the Father had a plan. And a plan by the way of His favor toward mankind. He would reach out by way of His Son. And in His Son's death upon the cross, bearing our sins in His own body upon the tree, He would provide for us a freedom from those sins. And when we are buried into the form of doctrine, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, as you read in the first six verses of Romans 6, then we find ourselves going into that relationship with Him. And as later on John will write in 1 John 1, or 2 John 1, we'll see ourselves in sin and wrongdoing, but we'll find ourselves, if we confess our sins, 2 John 1 and verse 9, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. See, He's righteous all the time. He's righteous in His conduct. That word just. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our unrighteous acts and deeds are confessed to Him. We realize that that's the way. We pray for some things we don't even realize that the way as we get older in life and can't remember all the things we've done and said, where we've been. But we ask God's forgiveness for the things that have been amiss from His plan. And He forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He goes on to say, and some people misunderstand this in the second, as we read along in there. He says regarding this matter, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, remember we have an advocate to the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the go-between not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. And they say, well, look there. Jesus is the Savior for the whole world. But they neglect that that's in the context of 1 John 1, in the which it is noted there, we're in the fellowship with the Father and the Son. And being in fellowship with the Father and the Son, we should not say we have no sin. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us that way. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wonderful is that relationship we sustain with God and His great way. And that's what Paul is writing to young Timothy about here. This is a blessing of purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer those things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Famous song written about that, of hymns. We remind ourselves our relationship with the Lord can and will be a wonderful blessing for us. These things that we read of in the Scripture that say that they will bar us from entering the kingdom of heaven, that we cannot please God, we should maintain a lifestyle of moving away from those things. If ever they have been a temptation to us to not believe as we should, not forgive as we should, not be people who live a way of debauchery in our lives, we should be people who walk with God and work with Him in this regard of coming into fellowship with His Son and Him and living our lives in such a way that when sin comes a part of it, we confess our wrongdoings to God and he's faithful and just, always righteous, to forgive us and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. What a blessing it is to have. In these topical studies that we'll go to, we'll cite those particular verses that range from one place to another, that always be on the same theme. It'll be a little different part of the study of the person's life, as we talked about somebody coming into salvation through grace and faith in the Lord and obedience in Christ. When we have that faith that puts us into Christ, Romans 6 tells us we're baptized into Him and raised to walk a new life. That's the way we do. What a blessing it is to have in our lives. Thank you for listening and studying with us tonight. As we sing this song of invitation tonight, think about your relationship to the Lord. We could be of help in any way in repentance and prayer. We'll be glad to do that tonight, to say the least. As we stand together, let us sing.
Come to Jesus,
He will save you. If you give your heart to Jesus, He will make it white as snow. Glad to do so.
Only in Thee, O Savior mine,
dwelleth my soul in peace divine, peace that the world, though all combine, never can take from me. Pleasures of earth so seemingly sweet, fell at the last my longing to me. Only in Thee my bliss is complete. Only, dear Lord, in Thee. Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for our time together tonight, for Thy holy word to direct our thoughts and our ideals about life itself and the way to be with Thee eternally someday. We thank Thee for Thy love and care for us, the willingness to forgive us, and willingness to help us along the way in life. Bless those of whom we've mentioned tonight in times of illness and sickness, and bless us as a congregation to continue our growth in number as well as spiritually. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.